Professor X and the Age of X were announced as a hot new event and the big grand prize for early 2025. But will this be a better or worse experience than the Age of Apocalypse? Dark Dimension 7 is here, and how long till we start seeing Mephistos running around in the wild? And is Cosmic Crucible sustainable in its current state? There's some major issues going on right now with the trophies, but it's a very easy solution for all of this. We're discussing all of these topics and more in this edition of your Marvel Strike Wars Weekly News Update. Joining me this week, all the way from the Shire, is my brother Doolam. And if you're ready for all of these topics and more, then brother Doolam, let him know what to do.
The Shire's gonna smash it.
And welcome back to the Valley Flying Channel. I'm Valley Flying. This is brother Doolam, and this is your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this every week, keep you up to date on everything that has happened and is upcoming in Marvel Strike Force. And if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content. At least 5 Marvel Strike Force videos every single week. Gameplay videos, news videos, question and answer videos, everything to help your experience in Marvel Strike Force. But without further ado, brother Doolam from the Shire. I got that wrong. I was misreading your name for what, a year or so before anything was said. How are you doing, and how's your week been in Marvel Strike Force, brother?
It's been going great. The Shire's doing well. Nice. Marvel Strike Force has been going great. You know, everybody still gets my name wrong, so we're thriving, man. You know the usual.
I think you just run with it. Just run with it. It's absolutely. Just like, it's like a everybody knows the meme at this point. But let's just get right into it. Professor X, my goodness, I was waiting so long for this character to come. We were talking about this at the Envoy Summit. The devs didn't say anything except the wheelchair version is not coming. I think they were working on this at the time. What was your reaction when you first saw Professor X coming to Marvel Strike Force?
Oh, you know, like that Deadpool picture, like this one, it was just that. I honestly, like, I'm stoked for this because this gives life to one of the best, like, most well-known mutants ever. I obviously, we all kind of want the wheelchair version because that's what we kind of grew up on, the early 2000s movies and stuff. Yeah. Just, there's technological issues when it comes to rigs and a lot of boring stuff that comes around it. So we're going to get a standing version, which is just A-okay with me. I think he's going to be an awesome character, and we got a little teaser on the top there, didn't we?
Yeah. Let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Some people are thinking this is Old Man Logan, maybe one of the characters required to unlock this, maybe just a person on the team. What do you think this means? Is this some kind of hint? They do a lot in throwing hints, and then maybe this is one of the hint, and then they'll have something here, and something here. Is that what you're thinking is going to happen? And is this Old Man Logan?
It definitely looks like 4 quadrants, right? It looks like 4 different things that they're trying to add to the whole narrative. It definitely screams that to me. As for Old Man Logan, I don't know if I'm biased. I'm hoping, because that's one of my favorite Marvel movies, is Logan, when they finally killed off the Hugh Jackman Wolverine. So I'm hoping, because that character would be really fun.
I didn't like seeing him die. I want to see him just kill everybody. But it was a very good story and stuff like that. Now, one of the big fears that the community has, one of the worst times in the game for me was during the Age of Apocalypse. There was a lot of good that happened during that. But I think the worst thing for me was everybody had to build the exact same team, build them up to the exact same gear level. And, you know, we had some bad characters that we had to build, but even with that, even with the good characters, everybody had the exact same teams for Apocalypse, created some really big problems in the meta. What do you think they're going to do to solve this? What kind of lessons have they learned from that?
I'm hoping it's just less prescriptive when it comes to like having to build a full 5-man team to progress in this story. I'm hoping it's just like the legendaries that are tied to this, because everybody builds the legendaries, right? Cause those are the ones that are get plug and play. Like Nowhere is kind of a meh team, but Nova is awesome. Pretty much everywhere. Use him a lot. So I would really like that, just to kind of make sure we still have that agency so we can take the team up to usable level, but then slam the legendary all the way down to the max rank to unlock Professor X, instead of having to build the Scarlet Witches, the Phantom X's, the Psylocke, the painful ones, man.
Yeah, I have no problem building the Morgan Le Fay's, the Red Hulks, the Rogues, the Archangels. It is specifically Phantom X, Scarlet Witch, those bad characters that aren't good. Now, you mentioned a one unlock method. There was another one that I didn't even think of, but chat mentioned this morning, gear. Will, do you think that this will be the new gear tier unlock, or do you think they're going to keep running these dark dimensions? There'll be a dark dimension 8. And then this is just kind of something that we're going to get by doing our normal unlocks, you know, unlocking these legendaries, going for these events. And this is just like a grand prize. What do you think of the unlock method for Professor X?
Speculation. I think it might be tied to ISO again, maybe the next ISO color, because I feel like a lot of people have ISO 5 and ISO 4 in their account, like a decent amount now comparatively to back when Apocalypse was being unlocked. I think the gear requirements are going to be Dark Dimension. I think that's going to be the sticking point for Dark Dimensions is gear, and then this is going to be either ISO or something new.
I hope they keep that as well. I do mm-hmm. like the Dark Dimensions. I think that's a fun challenge. I think that's a fun chase. It takes a long time, not just entering, to get in there. It takes a long time after you've unlocked all these characters to actually play through these modes, because you get 1 in 10 per day, unless you're spending a lot of cores. So I do hope they keep that. Now, I'm really looking forward to this, but we do know that one of the next characters coming, or at least the next legendary character, is going to be on this Merc for Money team. They say here, Odd Timekeeper will be needed for the next legendary character. So we know that if you want to unlock this character, you wouldn't need Odd Time. Odd Time is pivotal in war. The next legendary character will help join Deadpool and the fan voted Panipool on the upcoming Merc for Money team. They say upcoming team here, but we know it's a Merc for Money team. So do you think that this is one of these boxes here, or maybe we get an old man Logan for this Merc for Money team? What do you think is the relationship between this character? Is this the first in the unlock for Professor X? What do you think this Merc for Money legendary character is going to be?
Yeah, I think it could be the first kind of step towards the Professor X story in whole, because obviously with the movie coming up, I feel like it's pretty obvious that a Wolverine, either the one we have in game or an Old Man Logan variant of some sort, is going to be on the team joining Deadpool because of the movie coming out in the summer.
It will not be the Wolverine we have in the movie.
No,
it's
going to
be a brand new one that can sell with all new abilities. Yeah, it's not going to be the same one.
So at that point, then we know if the legendary is on there, we have Deadpool, and then we have Panipool. That's 3 out of the 5. So I'm curious who else is going to be on the team. Another rework, another new character, 2 new characters. It's going to be interesting to see what comes next on that team as well, because we still don't know 2 of them.
Now, some have been revealed still under NDA, but I'll just put this out to the community. There are some pretty obvious guesses. Let me know your guesses down in the comments. So I hope it's a fun team.
A little tease there. Yeah. Teasing everybody.
Teasing without revealing too much. But let's talk about the next game mode. The game mode that's in here right now, Dark Dimension 7. It is launched in the game right now. It looks like there are 2 people that are in Dark Dimension 7 as of us recording this: Platypus Messiah and Beta Ray Bill. Are you surprised that more hasn't been done on this? More people haven't been entered, and more progress hasn't been reached on some of these nodes on day one?
No, honestly, I expected this. The Dark Dimensions that have the new gear color always take longer, because obviously you have to get all the catalysts from scratch. You have to get every single piece from scratch, because it's a whole new color. So you're not sitting on 20,000 health catalysts to throw in like we were for Super Scroll for DD6, which is why they got through it in like 4 hours, right?
Yeah,
so this is from scratch. You have to buy everything, which is, I think, the sticking point right now.
So this would be more comparable to like Dark Dimension 5 and gear tier, 16? When tier was first introduced, and how long it took people to unlock Dormammu, not how long it took for people to unlock Super Scroll.
Yep.
And Apocalypse was kind of the pseudo Dark Dimension that was skipped.
Yep. And there's also the difference is you only had 2 weeks to prep for this Dark Dimension, which is the shortest amount of time. So they released the G19 in the supply store on March 6th, and then it opened on the 20th. So you only had 2 weeks to just slam that supply store as much as you can. And they haven't even released offers yet. So it's only gold and only supply store. So it's a massive bottleneck right now.
So even if the Kraken spent a lot of money, they still would be a little bit behind, which is why there's only 2 people in right now.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So one of the other big things, Dark Dimension 7, if we see right here, requires 4 to 5 mythic. Some people are thinking Dormammu and Doom. Does this change your selection of characters for who you're bringing in, one or the other, or still bringing in both?
No, this drops Doom. I know it's going to hurt your soul with your two diamond Doom, but I'm dropping Doom now. I think Dormammu's better overall as a character, because he benefits from the stats. I think Doom is mostly kit based now to take someone else really good on the time platform. So I think long-term investment wise, I think Dorm is worth it to do first. And then Doom, I think, would be a good choice later. But I don't think for your first run, I think it should be the Kestrel, Super Scroll, Apoc, and then Dormammu.
Gotcha. Now with that, I'm just wondering, maybe it's easier to gear up one over the other. Would you go for that more long-term choice? I agree that Dormammu is the better character long-term, but sometimes you might be able to gear up Doom a little easier because he does take tech. He does take a little bit of Mystic, not as much Mystic as Dormammu. Would you change your selection at that point if you get in right now with Doom and get in maybe a month later with Dormammu?
Oh yeah, I'd change it even if it was a weak difference. Honestly, okay. An extra 7 hits to get the best character that's going to be in this game, Mephisto, is well worth it. Like, that's a decision you make when you're on the gates of Mythic, right? Like, right, if you have the choice, whichever one comes first, it is what it is. Bite that bullet to get Mephisto faster, for sure. Right.
But don't upgrade any of those right now is my thoughts. I think the only characters you upgrade right now, guaranteed, Apocalypse, Super Skrull, Black Knight. Everybody else, you wait until you're right on the gates of the next level of Dark Dimension.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, we're in agreement. All right, have you seen these enemies? I mean, I know you have, but what are your thoughts of these enemies? We were discussing this earlier. I was like, Mephisto here. We got Horseman, Gambit. Gambit's here. Nightcrawler's here. Quicksilver, couple Quicksilver, Kangs, Morgan Le Fay. I mean, good thing there's no Ghost Riders because they have a lot of synergy with Mephisto. They could be even worse, but look at all these diamonds. How long do you think it's going to take you to get through this note and just Dark Dimension in general? This looks like it's a lot tougher than any previous Dark Dimension we've had. I know Juicy said 6 months from entering Dark Dimension 6 to finishing. How long do you think Dark Dimension 7 is going to take you?
I think it's going to take a while, which is a good thing. I think it's something that I want to go into every day because it's something once you do it the first time and then the second time it's done. Right. And then the excitement's kind of over. I want to be able to get in not somewhat quickly, but be able to start chipping away at it and have a long, long road of these nodes are just hard. And it's that puzzle aspect that I love. You could also look at the last node that you're on right now. If you look at the Drax on the second row, look at his power.
Ooh, 2 million. I've never seen a 2 million. Gosh.
Let alone Drax, my guy. A pre-taught 2 million tank.
This is because we're bringing Apocalypse into this node. This is we're going to be bringing Super Skrull into this node. Kestrel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is because we're bringing those certain characters into node. Mike, that's a two million
Drax. There's a Mephisto down there too. There's a Mephisto there too. This node's going to be nuts. Still though,
three Draxes, a 2 million, a 720, and a.
Jeez. Yeah, man, it's gonna be nuts. I'm excited though. I love the challenge.
I'm with you. The more challenge, the better. Obviously, I want to get this character as soon as possible, but you know, that's chipping away. I don't think there's a good solution. I think it's just chip away until your second run or third run when you have a more wide selection of characters and you have more of the current meta characters for the time. Right now, I don't think we have all the pieces we need to beat Dark Dimension in a reasonable time frame. I think it's just that chipping aspect that you talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, new character in the game, we have this guy Iron Patriot looking very good, and because of this passive with all this extra damage in Crucible, villain allies gain 50% damage. That is insane. So just for this passive alone, even if you don't build up the rest of this character, even if he dies right away, he is making a difference in Crucible right now. Had some crazy punch ups this week because of this passive. Have you unlocked this character? And if so, what kind of crazy things have you done with this character?
I actually have not.
Okay, so what kind of things have you seen with this character? Yes, or heard about?
I steered you in the right direction today with the Kang combo. It took out a Black Knight one-shotting. This is what people have been using against
It was insane.
Yeah,
this passive right here made a difference in the fight.
And the best thing about him too is even after he dies, that 50% damage boost still persists for the entire match because that starts on spawn and persists the whole time.
You would need to build a pretty big for it if it didn't do that, yeah, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't get that damage because he dies right away at these low levels, you know.
Yeah, so. But he's a great plug and play character even without Namor right now. Namor is a good plug and play character too for some big rewinds.
He's tiny. He's a tiny Namor.
I took him all the way up today for a matchup. Oh, he hit for his ult hit for like 2 million. You're not gonna regret taking him up.
He's gonna be crazy, but
he's nuts.
Mine's a tiny one.
But we got leader coming out soon. I'm excited for the full team and the theory crafting to start. I think that's the best part about Cosmic Crucible, and honestly, the best part about Cabal as a 3-piece team being ultimate plug and play. Let's make lesser villains better. All that kind of good stuff. So I'm here for it.
Do you think this team is going to have to break up other villain teams like Masters of Evil? This is a good plug and play character right now. But when we get the full Cabal, are we going to use the characters like Doom, Omega Red, Ammo? Those are the three specifically that the devs mentioned. Or are we going to be breaking up Masters of Evil, slotting in some Masters of Evil characters like Kang or Super Skrull, Apocalypse, something like that to make this team work?
I think the best way to use them is going to be taking up kind of those B tier villains and just mm-hmm. making them way better with the Cabal team because you have those B tier villains just being ramped up by the Iron Patriot passive, all the stuff that they do. So I don't think breaking up like an MOE or breaking up one of like what we call the Master Key teams is worth it yet until it gets to a point where like Masters of Evil by themselves can't beat a lot of things. But as of right now, full Cabal and then like the B tier villains, maybe like a Morgan Le Fay being brought back into the meta. I've heard Strange Heartless as well because he'll get the extra energy and can ult turn two instead. So a lot of things like that can be super helpful to make lesser villains better.
Yeah, I like that because if this meant having to break up a team that was already being capable of being a pretty strong team, it wouldn't be as strong. But, you know, giving new life to characters like Doom, Emma, Heartless, Doctor Strange that aren't really on solid defensive or offensive team right now is good. Let's get to the showcase event, this test drive. It was a little buggy when it first was launching, and I think what was happening, I've heard a couple things, that only raid bonuses were on, none of the Crucible bonus were on, and the Secret Defenders had their arena bonuses on same time. I'm not sure if that was a combination, if it was one or the other, but they got their butt kicked. Cabal did not even take a turn. Now when you run this, though, it got fixed. They have their Crucible bonuses on, and now Secret Defenders does not even take a turn. It is a 3-match move. Boom. What did you think of this when you first saw them lose?
When I first saw it lose, I actually laughed. I went, that's pretty funny. The mode that we're supposed to be trying out, get people excited to use them. Uh-oh, that's not good. Yeah. And then the community found out that it was actually every single room, like game mode rule was on except for Crucible. So it was Arena, Raids, it was everything but Crucible. So like Photon was just going at the speed of sound. Black Cat had the Arena buffs. All this stuff was going on, but... after seeing them in game, even just the 2-piece, Cabal's the real deal. Don't sleep on them. They are the real deal.
I don't even got the 2-piece. I got the 1-piece and it is smashing really, really hard. So I'm looking forward to when this team comes. I mean, this is such a big difference with these Crucible bonuses on or off. That 50% damage. They didn't even get that 50% extra damage in the original room. So really, really good stuff with this.
Absolutely. I've heard there's some use for leader or for Iron Patriot in war already as well at the higher end. So there may be some war stuff that kind of trickles down as well. That could be interesting. But yeah, I mean, he's got a great kit for Cosmic Crucible. If you're enjoying that mode,
that is a character that I can't wait. The leader and all this theory crafting, all the bonuses that it gives to the villain with his charges. It looks very, very fun.
Yep.
Let's move on to these raids though, because we got some new raid season rewards. We got a new raid season launching. Crimson Gear, Armory 19 Orb Fragments, and this Crimson Gear, Teal Gear. Did they increase anything else, or did they just add these Crimson Gear Orb Fragments?
I think they increased the 18 orbs as well a little bit, because I think that was like 60k for 100 to 250. I don't quote me on that. The epic ones. Orbs, yeah. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that got increased. But honestly, everybody was looking at the red to be put in there. So, I mean, I'm happy they're in here. Obviously, raids are always the most important game mode when a new Dark Dimension comes out or a new gear tier comes out in general. But it's going to be interesting, man. I know those Krakens are coring their way through skill like a madman, and it's ridiculous from some things that I've seen.
All right. So coring the weighted scale to try to get to the top 100. What are you doing in these incursion raids right now? We're in the same alliance. We're in difficulty three. Are you simming? Are you autoing? Manual playing? What? How are you tackling these nodes? And I just want to check. We are at 60%. So I'm done with the raids for right now.
We are. Yeah. I haven't simmed yet. I actually enjoy the raids. Bifrost has been giving me the most trouble because everything gets resisted. So the first three nodes are a little rough. Tech is not bad. I have like a 1.8 million Pegasus and like a third of that is Kestrel. So that tech has not been bad. Mutant's been pretty easy, except for, as you can see, the boss is a little rough. Because if you don't take off all those buffs right off rip from the Teen Lokis, they just counterattack you down. But Mutant's not bad. Bio's pretty simple. And the best part is you don't feel bad about taking these raid teams up anymore because Hive Mind's used in CC and other places. Yeah. Nightcrawler and friends are used in a lot of places, so it makes you feel good for leveling them up to do the hardest difficulty.
Yeah, I feel not bad at all about Extreme X-Men or Pegasus. Hive Mind, I'm not sure. How bad do you think they're going to fall off after these Cosmic Crucible rules expire? Because a lot of their value in Cosmic Crucible comes from the season rules that they get those bonus from Superior 6. Do you think they're going to fall off hard after this? Are they already giving you some trouble in the bio nodes, or are they smashing for you in this section?
In raids, they're doing pretty well. I had bad RNG once where my Red Goblin just got deleted off rip on node 2 by the Quicksilver. That was manual play. Yeah. Okay.
So you couldn't restart. So good.
It happens. It is what it is. But as far as the team in general, Void Knight's going to be really good for a long time because of his plug and play ability. We use him in arena, some matches, stuff like that. And then just the team in general, if you've got them big, they hit hard, dude. They're going to be still good in Cosmic Crucible.
Crucible War.
Yeah. So in Crucible, I feel like they're always going to be a good team because they're going to punish people if they throw in a utility character that's not built that big, because then you could just ramp the speed off of them super early and then snowball real quick. So any team that you see isn't fully beefed out, you could just throw a Hive Mind at it and run over it real quick.
Yeah. I like that. Void Knight is very good. I'm just wondering how much of that is going to be the Crucible bonuses right now, and how much of that is going to drop off the next season. Hopefully not too much. Hopefully you're right about all that and they still have their value, because I want to build them. I think they're a fun team. The big problem with Hive Mind, though, they need those characters to go to 25%, or they don't have that speed. And if they don't have that damage, characters are built too big, they're not getting them to 25%, they're not getting their speed, they're getting run over. So they're kind of what happened to symbiotes, kind of what's going to happen to these guys eventually. So they will fall off. But I think Void Knight is still going to remain in the meta. The rest of these characters as a team, maybe not so much. All right, moving on to the bang for your buck compensation. We got some compensation in the inbox. Were you able to do these bang for your buck makeup offers? I was having trouble with this. I was going behind the scenes because I had trouble with my Exola account. It was not working very good. I messaged Scopely. They said, oh, it's on Exola's end. I messaged Exola. They didn't get back to me. So I was messaging. I'm like, come on, we got to get these. Half an hour left. I finally unlocked my account. So half an hour, I got to purchase all these. I finally got these. Were you able to do anything with this? And did you get all your Ultra Cores yet? If you did.
I did get the Ultra Cores. We got them yesterday when the payout happened. Nice. I did 50 worth because it was just worth it. It's like a gift card, which is the best way that Mobile Gamer explained it. It's essentially just like buying a gift card because you were going to get the money back anyway. And I always buy the passes. That's kind of my thing. That's one of the only things I really buy. So I knew I was going to get the passes anyway. So it's just spending a little bit more now and then less later. That's all it is.
Yeah. I thought it was exactly that. I maxed it out because I've spent 75 bucks. I could spend 75 bucks on the battle pass, the next character, and all the stuff that I bought with the compensation was for free. So I thought this was great. This was way more generous than I thought it would have done. Did you think they were going to give the Ultra Cores back one for one like they did? Or did you think that was it when they said, all right, this is some compensation. We'll give you some free claims. Some people got three times the reward. Some people got one of the reward. Do you think that was it? Or do you think this was overly generous as far as what would have made you satisfied?
No, they needed to do this. Because you got to remember, just like they said, they were able to buy whatever they wanted and then get whatever they tried to buy and then also benefited from the bug. So this didn't allow people to also buy what they want and benefit from the bug. They had to buy those offers. So this was the best compensation that they could have done and the most fair.
I was satisfied with just the free stuff, because the way I saw it, they bought $5 worth of stuff. They got $5 worth of stuff. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then all the bang for your buck milestones, we got compensated with the free stuff. This was even better. Maybe my standards were lower than that, but I was satisfied with this. This is even better, though. I'm glad they did this and I took full advantage of it. I hope whatever was going on with Exola in the background didn't cause anybody to have issues like I did. I know there were some reports of that, so I hope it wasn't too widespread what was going on with my account. But I think this was great. This is a great resolution for this. Let's talk about Cosmic Crucible, because there's some issues going on in Cosmic Crucible. And I guess the easy way to explain this, I'll let you go a little more into detail because I think you're a little more eloquent in explaining this stuff off the cuff. But every time you win and lose a battle, you win a certain amount of points, you lose a certain amount of points. The spread on that is very small. And sometimes it's no spread at all. Sometimes it's the exact amount that you win and lose. And then every time the new season starts, your points are destroyed in the whole entirety of the Cosmic Crucible universe. So those points are going away. And technically, newer players that come in should be getting those points. But when they start at zero. So no new points are being introduced into the system. And these points are getting out of the system. Anything? Did I explain that pretty well? Or what do you have to add to make that even more apparent? What is going on?
Yeah, it's essentially an economy issue. So they're when they do a reset, they're taking the tribunal rating or trophies, whatever you want to call it, out of the economy. And nothing is putting it back in, because if every win is usually a 1-1, you win 15, somebody else loses 15, or it's like a 16-14, then that's only adding 2 tribunal rating to the economy, essentially, because that's the only difference. Yeah. So essentially, if you beat me in a Cosmic Crucible, you're just taking my rating, but it's not adding any rating back into the economy, which is causing these massive bottlenecks in like gold and platinum, where everybody's getting stuck. Because that's where all the free-to-play players and the new players are getting stuck as well. And like you said, nobody's bringing in new trophies into the economy. New players are starting at zero. So there's no counteraction to this. And it's becoming at a point where it's being a big issue that the community is noticing, because it's been happening for 6 seasons now.
Yeah, so I think there's a quick solution. Juicy described it best. I'll link his video down below, because he's the first one that I know of that brought this issue to light. Yeah. I'll let you discuss what is the big solution that he discussed on his video.
So essentially, you need to win more. The spread between winning and losing needs to be bigger. So it needs to be like, if you win 30 points and your opponent loses like 15 only, to be able to put those extra 15 trophies back into the economy, right? Or tribunal rating.
And that accounts for that big drop that we have
each
season, where the points are just removed from the economy.
Correct. Or the reset needs to be like a set amount that it affects everybody the same. Because the problem is, if you see you're at Diamond 3 right now, if I'm at 1874 in Diamond 3, right? Mm-hmm. And if the season resets right now, we're both going to get reset to the exact same point in Diamond 2. So the problem is, those extra 34 trophies that I had over you don't mean anything. So then those get essentially, it's more and more and more trophies or tribunal rating getting thrown away, and nothing is putting them back in the economy, causing this issue with the leagues and not enough people at the higher levels.
So I think the easiest solution, just find a way to get more points back into the economy. The easy thing is to increase the spread. There's a bunch of other ways they could do that. And I'm pretty optimistic with this. The devs have been making mistakes. They've been making errors. They've been making missteps. But the good thing is, now they're listening to community. So when they do make these missteps, they're pretty quick to change correction. I think now that this is brought to light, I think the devs will course correct this pretty soon. So hopefully this won't be an issue, and we won't be like reducing the size of our Cosmic Crucible ratings and all our rewards and everything like that. Let's talk about Cosmic Crucible this week. This has been a tough week in Cosmic Crucible. What have you noticed as far as your new defenses, new offenses? I faced some pretty freaking big defenses this week. We got lucky with a lot of wins. Some of it was from Iron Patriot. This was a tough team right here. What are some of the new defenses and offenses that you've been facing Cosmic Crucible this week?
I actually didn't have to face any Cabal this week, which was nice. I did see a decent amount of people facing Cabal. I've been seeing a lot of sus SD in room one has been kind of a thing now, kind of like how you have here with the Kingpin. There's been, this season has been so awesome for theory crafting and changes. Like every single week I see something new, and that's a testament to Scopely to leaving the rooms ambiguous enough for us to theorycraft with them. And yeah. I just hope it keeps going, because this has been by far the best Cosmic Crucible season we're seeing. And it's ending. Next week is last week, and then we got new rules again. So it's fresh. Ugh. It's new. I'm excited, man. Like they're really, really listening, like you said, and implementing stuff that we're asking for.
How much do you think Black Knight is going to affect the next season of Cosmic Crucible? He made a big difference. None of the rules really were specific calling him out, but he made a huge difference in Cosmic Crucible this season. How much of a difference do you think he's going to make next season in Cosmic Crucible, just because this kid being so insane?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I know we're doing some testing behind the scenes and trying to see what works and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of where he's really going to shine. And if he's going to be on offense, he could be an offensive character now. You know, he's good, because he's that stonewall on your offense. If they have a sus on defense or whatever it is, it could be that stonewall offense that you throw in there, and everybody goes before you and Black Knight just pings them all down.
And predictions for next season. What do you think is going to be a tough meta team next season, offensively and defensively? Do you think Extreme X-Men is still going to shine? Do you think there's other characters that are going to rise up? Obviously, Cabal is going to be dominant in offense. What else do you predict happening?
Yeah, I think even without specific room rules to Extreme, they're still going to be really good. Extreme is just a good team in general. Like, they're really, really good. And it's great because they're keeping Rogue in the meta more, because she's a great fifth to plug and play there.
Yeah.
But they're just going to keep, they're going to keep being good because of just how good of a tune Nightcrawler is in general. And then Gambit with the pings. Ugh. I mean, the team is just awesome, man. So I think they're going to stay in the meta, even if there's a room that doesn't completely call out to them. But if there is, then obviously you're going to see where they're going to be going pretty quickly.
And Doolum, we have a dark promo character in our next strike pass. How generous do you think this is? Were you expecting this? I know some people were thinking it was to be Void Knight, kind of disappointed. I thought this was awesome, though. What did you think when you saw Black Knight, the next strike pass character?
Shut up and take my money is what I thought. I was like, absolutely, because there's actually enough shards in here. He'll get me to a 7-7. So I'll be maxed out BK. I'm ready to go.
Oh no.
I dropped like 15,000 cores on Black Knight when he came out. So I was like, you know what? We're going in on this.
15,000. Yeah. Jeez, dude.
Yeah, I saw his kit and I was like, this guy's gonna be meta everywhere. I did the same thing for Kang, because Kang was gonna be meta everywhere because of that speed. And yeah. I feel like he's at that level, if not better, because he's the super scroll counter essentially.
Yeah, very, very good character. This is one that I never buy, because this is this has more gold and your 18 pieces, not as valuable once you're through Dark Dimension 6. But the Black Knight made it worth it for me. Just the character shards alone made it worth it. And it's a good place to spend my Ultra Cores as well.
Yep. You also get some diamond promotion credits too. You get enough to take a character from 1 to 2 diamonds from that as well. But I agree with you. If the character is not good enough in here, I probably won't get it. It has to be good enough.
Yeah, I agree. For me, it has to be the character, because the gold is cool, the other stuff is cool, but my rationale is I get that stuff anyway through the just normal gameplay, so I don't want to spend for that. I want to spend for these shards, because I think they're going to be very, very stingy with how they're releasing this character.
Absolutely.
All right, now we got a new event going on right now related to the Dawn of Time. This one is the release event for Cosmic Ghost Rider. Looking at these rewards, as far as the milestone, seems like a very generous event. I got a lot of shards for a Cosmic Ghost Rider. I did get the unlock, the 80 shard unlock, or 45 shard unlock. So we got up to 4 stars, and I did get pretty good drops in my first orb pull. What do you think of this event, and what do you think of these orbs in general?
Usually I don't like these orbs too much, cause they're hit or miss. But they've made it so the left side of the orb is a guaranteed 2, 3, 4, or 5 drop, which is really nice. So it's a guaranteed drop. So it doesn't feel bad that you're opening up Cosmic Ghost Rider orbs and not getting him. So you're guaranteed to get him every time, which is really nice. I think the amount of shards in the actual milestones are really generous too. So I think there's like 50 or 60 shards in just the milestones. So it's not just RNG dependent. I know this unlock method is not the most favorite from the community, because it is RNG. It's based on the orbs you open and stuff. But I think they're taking steps into the right direction, making these a lot more player friendly than they have been in the past, from what I can tell.
Yeah, and since the Age of Apocalypse that year, they've made less character shards in the initial event. But as you can see, these are some pretty recent character shards. They didn't do this in the past. Void Knight, Kraven's farmable now. Mockingbird's farmable. Ronin is farmable now. But they're pretty recent. we have some unfarmable characters in Gwenom, Red Guardian, and obviously Cosmic Ghost Rider. So while the initial events aren't getting as much, this one's okay, but we're getting a lot more unfarmable characters in these orbs. So I think it is a great event. Now, one thing that I do like about this, very minimal blitzing. I think less than 8 rotations for the whole life of the event for the web milestones. Are you pushing for these ranking rewards in this event? Are they worth it enough for you to try to push in this top 3% for some of this teal gear to get into Dark Dimension 7 slightly earlier? Or is this just, I'm going to do this event, get as many Cosmic Ghost Rider shards, and wherever the milestones fall is where they may be?
Yeah, wherever they fall, cool. I'm usually around the top 1-3%, which is the time that I like that they're doing the leaderport events, because it's normally I get some stuff that I'm normally not akin to without buying it and stuff like that. So I'll take it, because the 1-3 rewards are honestly pretty generous. You get almost 2 full mystic pieces worth of G19s, which is really good. And some orbs. Yeah, like you get that's almost, so I think you need 36 for 2 mystic pieces. That's almost 2 full pieces worth of mystic. So that's half a character or 2/3 of a character. That's not bad. That's pretty generous for 1-3%. So I'll take it.
I like it. I think this is a pretty good event. I like this minimal blitzing, more importantly.
Oh, yeah.
Also, you could do no blitzing if you're spending a lot on your incursion energy as well. So I like that they're giving a few some options of how you want to max out the event. All right. Other event going on right now is our 6th anniversary. We are in week 3. It launched a little late. It launched on Tuesday instead of Monday, but it did launch. No big deal, because we could spend that energy in other places as well. And the milestones did launch on time, so that's a good thing. What do you think of these anniversary events, how they're structured, the rewards of it, and the difficulty? How difficult is this? And is it appropriate enough for it to be at this low level of difficulty, considering there's a wide variety of players?
So I feel like the anniversary in general, difficulty wise, is not meant for us, right? I actually had somebody in my chat who's been in your chat before and chats around.
Us meaning endgame players?
Endgame players. Yeah, just endgame players in general.
Who would you say it's designed more for?
I got a good feel for it. Somebody in my chat came in and said, hey, I'm level 88 and I was just barely able to beat the chapter 3 of the anniversary campaign this morning. So okay. I feel like it's like a challenge for some people, which is really cool. I love that for them, but it's still beatable for them, which is nice.
Ours is Dark Dimension 7, brother. Yeah,
exactly. We got Dark Dimension. We got Kiln. We got Tower. We got all that stuff. So yeah. I like how it's a challenge for some people, and I'm seeing feedback on that. The first time rewards have been really good. They've been giving out red gear. They're giving
lizard,
out
lizard shards in this lizard first shards. One right here.
Yeah. So if you go to chapter 4 as well, look at the first time rewards. Look at the crimson on node that, 1 that we're getting. We're getting
node 1.
Oh. Crimson notes, and then
I was looking at the vowel. This is awesome. I didn't even notice this.
And then scroll down.
Uniques. Nice.
All the uniques are farmable. Ooh. So you can do that as many times as you want.
Oh,
so
I wish they had this in week uniques. 1. I wish they had this in week 1. That would be overly generous. Oh, uniques. Week 4
all
is freaking,
the uniques,
oh
dude.
My goodness. I didn't even look ahead. This is really man. Good.
Yeah, you need miasma, farm it. You need teal, you need anything, farm it. So like, that's super generous, dude.
This is how they should treat all old gear tiers. As soon as gear tier 19, make 18 very available. This is, I like it to do this. Maybe not the whole gear tier, but look at all these uniques. One of the big sticking points of all this stuff, and now they're just making it super available. Other thing is the rewards that we got for these milestones here. Pretty easy to get some of this stuff for these May You Tremble event. Lizard shards here as well. Kang is great for newer
red
players.
Free red gear.
I like it. Did you notice that we had a calendar when we logged in this morning as well?
Yeah, I saw red, that too.
Was it this morning? Red gear.
6 miasma? That's a 10th of what I need for my Dark Dimension run. Are you kidding me?
Is this the same company that designed an Age of Apocalypse League 2 years ago?
Listen, remember they did a Dark Dimension 6. Remember they did the calendar for the orbs for when Dark Dimension 6 launched, and you got to open up those DD6 orbs that were actually pretty good. A step in the right direction too. So there were orbs for DD6. Okay. If you open them, you could it was just 18s were in there. And if you got like a gold drop, you could get like 18 of a mystic piece. If you got the gold drop, it was like less than 1%.
I do remember those. Those help me. Those help me a lot. Yeah.
is this a drop in the bucket in the grand scheme of things? Absolutely it is. But these are great rewards that they're giving us for free. And now, is it just anniversary related? This stuff is, but the calendar is DD7 related. So like, this is a step in the right direction. That Spider Slayer 6 red, I feel like was a slap in the face, but that's just me.
That's not for us again.
Yeah, absolutely not for us again. But I honestly feel like this company is taking steps in the right direction and really listening to, dude, we're getting free freaking red gear. That's awesome. That is so cool.
Now, they have been generous in the past, right? But usually after a bunch of people already unlock that dark dimension, nobody's even gotten through one node yet, and they're giving all this stuff out. I think this is a great sign of things coming in Marvel Strike Force, is that they're being so much more generous than they have in the past, and very different than a lot of the philosophy they had in releasing characters, listening community. It's opened up a lot more. The other thing that we're getting with this anniversary is a 6 for $66 offer. Some have been pretty good, some of them not great at all. I still got this one. I know you said on chat this morning you didn't get this one. Are you going to selectively buy these or just get everything? I think I'm going to get everything. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I think it's more like principle, because I'm like, I saw the gear 15 and I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with that? And like, I get it. It's not all for me. It's not all for late game. But like, put the gear 15, put some gear 16, and then put some gear 17 to be good for a wide range of people. Put 66 of all of those in there, right? So it's a little bit more well-rounded. But the other ones were fine. The six lizard shards, cool. He's not farmable yet. And then the gear 18 orbs.
He's just farmable now.
He just became farmable. Right. And then the G18 orbs for the first one that they did was really, really good. Like, that's 33 G18 orbs. That's awesome if somebody's still trying to get through Dark Dimension 6. So I hope the Gear 15 one isn't a sign of things to come and it goes back into the generous department, but we'll see.
I guess some training orbs, some gold, everything, even more shards. I hope we get some really, really good stuff here. Mm-hmm. Now, what they're also doing for newer players is changing the commander journey. This was something added late to the blog post, like right before it was published. Here's an overview of some of the changes that they've rolled out. Increase the drop rate of gear on campaign nodes. Showcase, test drive, and story now have more slots for blue and purple gear. Added higher quantities of gear, ability materials to supply store, node and raid rewards for Ultimus 5, Doom, and Incursion now include more T1 and T2 ability materials. One of the tier catalyst slots in the War Store has been changed to teal unique gear. This is great. I want new players, mid-game players, to catch up, get to the end game as soon as possible. I don't want it to take the 5 years that it took me. What else can be... let's start. How good is this? What else needs to be done as well?
This is a step in the right direction. This is a big credit to some of the Envoys who have done early game accounts and started the new accounts and gathered a lot of data and noticed the bottlenecks of green ISO, tier one, tier two ability material, blue gear, stuff that should not be stopping people. It's becoming streamlined and it's awesome, honestly. I really love to see this. The only thing I think they need to improve on is just, I hope they're done collecting their data for this XP boosting thing so that they can implement it into the game and get everybody equalized and we can have a solid new game experience that we can, us as content creators can relate to new players and they can follow us on that journey so we can all kind of start new, fresh together. I think that would be really fun.
I've been waiting to start a new account until they they do all these changes because we know... Yeah. Each change are coming, more changes than the way. They also say keep an eye out for gear orange and catalysts coming to the Blitz store, green and blue gear. So that's again great for newer players. More are on the way, so they keep going with all this stuff. It's very, very good. And one of the best things that I think has brought change in a positive light to Marvel Strike Force is the Player's Voice Council. It is something that communicates with the devs of Marvel Strike Force and talks about some of the issues they have, players from early game, mid game, late game, spenders, non-spenders, and there is an opportunity if you want to join the Player's Voice Council, opportunity for you to join the council, not permanent roles, but there's 4 spots coming up for election very shortly. If you're interested in becoming a member of the Player's Council, applications will be made available starting on March 15th, submit to release, and they will run until Friday, March 22nd. So if you are interested in, you have one more day left. This is a Discord link to the server. The link is going to be down below as well. What is your thoughts on this? I know Envoys can't be in this Player's Voice Council. How big of a thing is this to be in this player's voice?
It's big, and people always ask, like, what's the difference between an envoy and a player voice council member, right? Envoys, we have specific things that we are envoys for because we make content for the game.
Yeah.
The player's voice movement is different. Those are going to be people that aren't making content for the game, so their needs, wants, and desires can be kind of different. That's why they have all different levels of spending. They have all different levels of gameplay, whether it's early, mid, late game, all that kind of wide variety that the envoys don't cover already, because obviously, if you're an envoy, you're super engaged, you're super late game, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So this kind of rounds out the wheel even more of communication with developers so that they can understand where the game is lacking and where it can improve. And honestly, we've seen that improvement over the last year. Like, we've seen so much change. We could have an hour long video just on that. Yeah. And it's really showing that they're listening to what we're saying at all levels.
Listening, I think, is the biggest thing, because I said, they're still making mistakes. There's still some events that aren't like the best, but they listen and they fix these things very quickly. Let me add on to the point. I think one of the other big things about the envoys and the player's voice on purpose get a lot more information in advance than us. They ask the envoys how much information do we want in advance. We said not too much, because we want to be able to talk about stuff. We want to be able to speculate stuff. The player's voice gets information a lot sooner than the envoys. So that is one thing, because that's they're not wanting to make content about this stuff. They just want to improve the game. So that's one of the other major differences as well.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah.
Professor X, Dark Dimension 7, what has you more hype right now? The ability that you will eventually get in Dark Dimension 7, play all that difficult content, or if you stay highly engaged, you will get Professor X. What has you more excited right now?
Probably Dark Dimension. That's closer, because we know like the steps to get in there. We don't know the steps for Age of X yet. And honestly, I'm a little weary. I hope they stick to the landing. I really hope they prove that they're listening, learning from their mistakes with this Age of X. I'm hopeful, but it's a skepticism hoping.
I don't
as
know.
Well.
They may or may not, but I'm confident in their listening. And even if they don't, I think they'll fix it. So it'd be a great experience. Maybe not initially on release, but it will be a great experience down the road, is what I'm confident of. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think I'm with you though. I'm looking more forward to Dark Dimension 7, because I know the kid of Mephisto. I know it's a little closer on the horizon, and I know what I need to do now that it's in the game yet. I know it's going to be a tough slog. But that is it for right now. If this video did provide you some value, leave it a like. It is free for you. Helps out the channel. Make sure you check out the links down below and check out Doolum. He puts out some great content, especially those game shows that you do. All those game shows. Great, great stuff. I want those to get a little more views, because I think that's a fun thing. So check him out. And if you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. I'll see you guys next time. Have a great rest of your day. And if you want to check out what are the best things to farm in each store, check out the video up there. And I'll see you guys next time. Hulk fist bump. Valley Flying and Doolum from the Shire out.